Yesterday's ruling from the U.S. Supreme Court on health insurance subsidies under the Affordable Care Act allows those subsidies to continue in states like Illinois that use the federal health insurance exchange. I spoke with University of Illinois law professor Sean Anderson about the legal reasoning behind the Supreme Court's decision and the reasoning behind the dissent from the other side.
The majority held that subsidies that are available for moderate-income people to buy health insurance are available both in states that have set up their own exchanges and in states that are using the federal exchange.
So this means everything stays the same as it is in Illinois. And then Justice Scalia wrote the dissent. In it, he says that this decision means that words mean nothing.
Well, right, because the challengers to the Affordable Care Act, to the subsidy rule, had pointed to provisions in the act that say you only get a subsidy if you are enrolled in a health care plan under an exchange established by a state. And Justice Scalia said that an exchange established by the federal government cannot be an exchange established by a state. So those people who get their plans through the federal exchange should get no subsidies.
What aspect of the law did the majority opinion use to say it doesn't matter?
The majority pointed to a lot of different provisions of the law, including that when the law gives the federal government authority to set up an exchange for a state that hasn't done so, it says the federal government shall establish such exchange. And the majority said by such exchange, it means exactly the same exchange that the state would have set up for itself. The majority also pointed to lots of other provisions that require exchanges to report certain information that would only be relevant if the tax credits were available. So the majority was trying to look at the whole of the statute.
Do you see any other further implications of this decision? Can it apply to other cases that are coming?
Well, in a larger context, this decision is part of an ongoing battle on the Supreme Court about how to read federal statutes, with Justice Scalia and Justice Thomas and sometimes other members of the court taking the view that you really have to take a statute at its word. And the court has no business saying, in effect, well, but the statute works better if we read it this other way. Other justices, most notably in the past, Justice Breyer, have sort of said, no, we really do need to look at how one interpretation or another would affect the way the statute works and see if that actually makes sense, given what we understand Congress to have intended. So this case is in a bigger picture. It's another battle in that war. And the Breyer wing seems to have won this battle, but that doesn't mean it'll win all the rest of them.
Overall, does there tend to be a direction the court falls?
Well, I think you'd have to say that the read the statute literally movement has gained a lot of ground over the last 30 years or so, Justice Scalia leading the charge on that. Even decisions that try to look at purpose and intent and a broader picture of the language have to pay a lot of attention to the specific words and the things that Justice Scalia would have them pay attention to. So I think he's won his share and he's moved the court as a whole over the last decades.
This isn't the first challenge to the Affordable Care Act. Would you expect to see other pieces of it challenged? Are there any in particular?
Well, nothing would surprise me, given the strength of the opposition to the Affordable Care Act. I'm not currently aware of any other promising challenges in the pipeline of the lower courts. The one that culminated in King versus Burwell today had, of course, been percolating for a couple of years. I'm not aware of anything that, as we would say, has legs at this point that looks like it has a chance to reach the Supreme Court. But again, nothing would surprise me.
Mm-hmm. You know, as someone who works in the law, were you surprised at all by the way it went? Or was
this one didn't surprise me particularly. I wasn't sure if it was going to be 5-4 or 6-3 as it actually turned out. But I was as confident as you can be that this one was probably going to turn out the way that it did.
Is there anything else that we should know?
I guess the one thing I would just sort of say is this is sort of like the story of what didn't happen. Because if the decision had gone the other way, big changes would have been in place. In Illinois, and I got information from a couple of different sources, so somewhere between 230,000 and 440,000 people who are eligible for these tax subsidies would have lost them to the tune of at least $500 and some million a year, if not more than a billion. So Congress would have been under pressure to do something quickly to help those people out, and states like Illinois would have been under pressure to develop their own exchanges quickly. So this case is the story of what did not happen because of the way the majority came out.
That was University of Illinois law professor Sean Anderson talking about yesterday's Supreme Court decision to uphold federal health care subsidies. I'm Amanda Hunnigfort. Thank you for listening.